Hello, WineAppers. My name is Jesse Meekham with another episode of the WineApp Podcast, and I'm here each week to obsess out loud about spending purposefully, saving aspirationally, and giving joyfully. It all comes down to just giving every single one of those beautiful little dollars a job. Changes are afoot, and you will notice that we're going to change the, well, let's just call it the branding. We're going to change the look of the show a little bit. Not really going to change the content. It's still going to be very wine-abby. But as you'll notice, we have a lot of different people talking about wine-abby, being pretty wine-abby in their own way. We've got Ben B. and Ernie. And I say Ben B. because we have to distinguish him from the other Ben that gives advice that is a little bit sketchy over at Sketchy Advice. And not to be outdone, we have Hannah. And if you've heard it from Hannah, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. So we have various people all talking about WineAb. And then we have this podcast that has been called the WineAb Podcast. And that has proven to be a little bit confusing at times because we have a lot of different, I don't know, shows, if you will. So we're going to rename this one. Still going to be Super WineAbby, but with a name that's maybe not quite so confusing. That's all I wanted to say. Just be ready for that. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to resubscribe somewhere. You don't have to go leave a review about this podcast over on your favorite podcast platform, but you could if you wanted. Let's do something crazy. Let's try and do an Ask Jesse again and maybe knock this list out. I'm hoping a lot of this is spam, but as I scroll past these subject lines, I'm not looking. Okay, there's one where I could collaborate on some oral care products, but other than that, it's looking pretty legit. So Blake says, as I was listening to your latest podcast, this was in May of 2024, the first two stories came to mind, talking about spontaneity. The first is that I got a tattoo on a spur of the moment. Okay, that's usually how funny stories start. I had the idea for a long while, okay, and went in to ask what the price would be, and the tattoo artist said, I've got some time now. Do you just want to get it? And I knew that my contingency category had the room for it, so I did. Okay, there's a lot of funny things in here because what do you think a tattoo artist normally says? You know, when someone's like, hey, man, I'm going to do this. I am going to do this. And maybe they're slurring the words a little bit. You were not, Blake. You were not. I'm just saying, maybe they are. And that tattoo artist has been trained in at tattoo artist conventions to be like, listen, you jump on this. You strike while the iron's hot, so to speak. And you tat them up as quick as you can. Okay. I'm kidding. Actually, Blake, you put me at ease because you said you'd had the idea for a long while. But I love that you classified that as spontaneous. That's interesting. You had this idea for a long time, and then you're calling the actual act a little spontaneous because at some point, the pulling of the trigger is, I don't know, it's just, yeah, it feels sudden, even if it's been on your mind for quite a while. That's interesting. I'm going to have to think on that a little bit more. The second time you said was years ago when your father was playing around with my mother, who was trying to get something done, and she said, and I quote, there's a time and place for spontaneity. And your mom's exactly right. There's a time and a place for it. And so you category up with it. Absolutely. I like your mom. All right. Luke says, I see WineAb is essentially a way to operationalize the intentional allocation of resources. I know exactly where you're going, Luke. Using this as a basis, can we extrapolate the four habits to time? Like money, it's a limited resource. You absolutely can. The interesting thing about time is you can't save it. You can't even really use it. You can just kind of observe it. Observe what you're doing while inside it. But you absolutely can. There have been people that have planned their days using WineAb literally as is. We haven't changed a thing about it. So that is pretty interesting. Lisa says, thank you for your podcast and app. Thank you, Lisa. WineAb has been life-changing for me. I'm not in the financial industry, but love. Can you imagine if only people in that industry listened to the podcast? What a boring audience that would be. Love listening to personal finance podcasts. Most of them really discourage and almost shame the use of financial planners. How is this different for me to know I'm paying 1% for my advisor, but freeing up my bandwidth like the use of a personal assistant or a cleaner? I'm very intimidated by investing on my own, but invest a significant amount having the security of a professional. I believe this is a win, but hearing it over and over how it's a scam is discouraging to me. Okay, Lisa, there's a lot to unpack here. So much to unpack, considering I only have 9 more minutes, that I will not even come close to getting through all of these questions. But let's dive into this just for a little bit. I used to be one of those people, not a financial advisor, but a financial advisor naysayer. And I just thought, just do it yourself. You just do low-cost index funds. You read the Little Book of Common Sense Investing by John Bogle. And if you're feeling really adventurous, you attend the Bogleheads Conference, which is exactly as nerdy as it sounds. And I went and spoke at it. So height of nerdism right there. And there's something else going on where first it's like, oh, anyone can do it. Well, not anyone can do it. And it is scary to a lot of people. And we have to acknowledge that. Number two, it feels good to a lot of people to be able to give advice that's quite technical and then also be like, it's super easy. It's just a little bit of a flex, as the kids say. So it's not, I'm not surprised that we see that a lot in the personal finance realm or in you know, in many realms, in realms across, started going, kind of going fantasy on me. But if you need to use a financial advisor or want to, I'm not even going to say need, if you want to use a financial advisor because it puts you at ease and you're basically outsourcing the bandwidth, I really like the way you framed it. What brought me around to it, because I do now use a financial advisor, they do not charge 1%. They charge a third of that. So I do think 1% is a little on the spendy side. What they're doing for me is keeping me in line with my overall financial plan, and they are more of an emotional check on me. So I don't believe that my financial advisor can pick better stocks than the next financial advisor. I know they can't. And anyone that says otherwise is wrong and has not read the research. But the advisor can read people if they're a good one, and they can tell when you're stressed, and they can tell why you're asking them the questions you're asking, and they can tell because they've had 1,000 other conversations just like the one you're having with them now where you're panicking, and they know exactly what to say to put you at ease and to make sure you stay on plan. Because the biggest mistake people make is they just don't even start. So hats off to you for starting. And if you want to use a financial advisor because it frees up your bandwidth to not have to learn a whole bunch of stuff, more power to you. You may find over time that you get more and more comfortable with it and things change. But that was me in reverse. I was super comfortable with doing it myself. And then what do I suddenly realize? I'm spending a whole lot of time wringing my hands, hemming and hawing, worrying about exactly how I'm allocated. And I thought, I should not be doing this. I should just try and sell another subscriber on using YNAB. That was my breakthrough. Okay. Amanda says, small suggestion. That's a scary subject line. Love the podcast. I really like that you include giving joyfully at the beginning of the... Amanda, this is so long ago that I actually had read yours and then changed it anyway because you say you don't love that you add even to the phrase giving joyfully, and I've stopped. So look at that, Amanda. This small suggestion was small, and I adopted it right away. Okay. Allison says, I've been using your software since 2014. Before then, I did that in an Excel spreadsheet. One thing I still have is a full year review or view in Excel. YNAB doesn't seem to solve the looking forward view, and I'm not suggesting it should. In Excel, I create a tax estimate and a year budget so I can estimate how much discretionary income will be available for the year. Plus, make sure we'll have enough money set aside for taxes and for when we need to pay large one-time or annual expenses such as college tuition and such. Just wondering if you also do an annual view outside of YNAB. P.S. I love YNAB. It was the first consumer planning software I found that allowed budgeting to the dollar and carryover of leftover amounts from month to month. Okay, here it is. And Allison's like, and yes, I'm a CPA. And I work in corporate financial planning analysis. So Allison is doing a little bit of the corporate thing, which we do at YNAB, where you look ahead for the year and you got to dial it in. You got to plan. You got to make sure it's all buttoned up. And it's very important when you're making big investment decisions, maybe up front in a year, to know where that's going to land you later on in the year. Personally, it's less important, but there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, Allison. You're adding quite a bit of rigor to our less frequent question, where it's like, are there any larger or less frequent questions that I need to deal with? And you're just saying, yes, there are. And then you're dealing with them pretty rigorously. I want to know about taxes, federal and state. I want to know about big, you know, you're just doing a big look ahead to make sure you can answer that second question to the best of your ability. So I dig it. It would be interesting to think how we could help in the software in some way to get people to tackle that. But sometimes the tool, and you even said this, you're like, I'm not suggesting you build this in, because YNAB is a spending tool, is built around the spend. It is a planning tool, but in that kind of annual look far ahead, you might find, and I think you have and others do also, find that another tool might be a little better, like a spreadsheet. You can just scratch it all together, you know, have a big playground, as they say. No one says that about spreadsheets. Katie says, I'll start with a bit of gushing. Katie, thank you. Which is something I do at least twice a week to whoever will listen. Wait, you gush about anything? Because then I lost the power of, oh, okay, I read it now. Gushing about YNAB. And you gush about YNAB to other people. Love it. Can't tell you how much YNAB means to me. It's allowed me to become truly proud of how I handle my finances and to spend with confidence and enthusiasm on the things that really matter to me. Spendful, hashtag. I added this hashtag spendful part because we had not introduced the word in July of 24. My partner, who I do not live with or share finances with, is less confident or knowledgeable about personal finance. He is about to receive a sizable inheritance, and I'm looking for educational material to help support him in knowing what to do. Most of the advice for how to save towards retirement during your working years doesn't seem exactly relevant to his upcoming situation. Katie, you said sizable. To be honest, because this is on the podcast, we wouldn't want to say, but I would love to know the actual amount. That would change. That would change probably my advice. And I think this hurdle may be feeling, feeling free to expand his spending for a rich life going forward. However, he also still has a lot to learn about basics, like a 401%. Jeez, I'm 401%. No one says that. A 4% safe withdrawal rate and how low-cost long-term investing works. I'm absolutely advocating for him to use YNAB as a tool to learn about his new situation and how he can enjoy that. Beyond that, do you have any recommended courses, books, or podcasts that I could share with him? I mean, I love his situation. Scary lottery stories, lottery winner stories could actually be pretty good. The thing that's interesting about this is he didn't earn this money, and it's fine that he's inheriting it. I am not saying like, oh, he didn't earn it. Like, I'm just stating the fact he did not earn it. He inherited it. And that's awesome. Really, it's totally awesome. But because he didn't earn it, he didn't gradually kind of work his way into looking at this kind of money on a bank statement, like looking at it on his phone, like seeing the number of zeros. Like, so there's this acclimation. And had you dropped me into YNAB now from my 2010 self, I would have been frozen, just terrified, thinking, oh my gosh, like revenue is just unbelievable. I remember when Taylor and I, we used to celebrate if YNAB did $1,000 in one day. If YNAB did $1,000 today, I would be panicking beyond belief. What is going on? We are going down, that kind of thing. So you just, as you earn the money, it gives you this gloriously organic way to just kind of acclimate as you go. What you earned, you now have to deploy. What you earned, you now have to deploy. Where with your partner, he did not get that acclimation. So the best thing he can do, and this is going to be a little counter perhaps to wanting to do something with a big pile of money right away, is just let it sit. And I got that idea from originally, I believe, Carl Richards, who wrote The Behavior Gap, which is a fun book to read. And I like it a lot because it means all you have to do is nothing. And I would challenge your partner to do nothing with the money for almost an irrationally long amount of time. Like, don't spend a penny of it for 3 months. Go for six and just let it sit there, earning no interest except whatever you get, you know, from the measly bank. Just so that he can live with this big pile and kind of walk around, not strutting, just walk around normal and just know it's there, but also start to notice that even though it's there, most of life is going to kind of be the same thing, like relationships, obviously. So that would be my advice as far as like brass tacks, let it sit for a good long while until you've felt all the novelty start to kind of fade. And then because that's out of the way, you can start to look at, you know, how you want to actually use the money. Certainly spend some of it. Again, I don't know how much it is. Is it 100 million? You could spend a lot. You know, is it 100 grand? Well, you could do something meaningful. I like that advice. That's hopefully the advice I would do if I were in his situation. Congrats to the whoever it was, parents, relatives that gave him the inheritance. That's cool. Very cool. All right, y'all. Didn't even come close. I did warn you that we will be changing the look and the name of the show a little bit. Nothing's going to change. I'm sure you all would have let me know. No, you know, had I done a change and not warned you. So this is my warning to you. Nothing's going to change, but change is coming. And I didn't even get to the Colgate oral care collab email. So we have a lot left. We have 14 left. And I only made it into August of last year. But we'll get there. We'll get there. It is always a pleasure to chat with you. Until next time, remember, just give every dollar of that big old inheritance after you let it sit for 6 months a job.